Listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you, and it is a Tuesday, February 12, Big Game Day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and for the next hour and a half, it's a sawed-off show today. We'll be coming at you from the 237 Roof Studios. No job, too big, too small, just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Yes, it is a big game day. But I'm going to tell you momentarily why LSU is playing with house money. There's not a ton to lose tonight for the Bayou Bengals. Of course, we'll take your phone calls as well. And we got to get out of here by 5:30 so we can send you to Lexington, Rupp Arena. John Brady, Chris Blair are going to have the call tip off at 6 o'clock. So how are we going to use the next 90 minutes? I'll tell you. My lead-in to what is really a big night in college basketball. And I do believe that LSU-Kentucky is the centerpiece game. We'll go to Lexington in our next segment. Quarter past, Jeff Drummond, managing editor, photographer for Cats Illustrated, part of the Rivals Network. And so how about it? A live scene setter, boots on the ground in bluegrass, and an opportunity to get a bit of a scouting report on John Calipari's Cats. Are they as freshman-laden as they always seem to be? And just how has Cal got this team going in a different gear since going into SEC play? Both of these teams come in with only the lonely one conference loss. Cats, they've won 10 in a row, and that includes a big win over Kansas. They're playing as well as anybody in the country right now, and we'll ask Jeff Drummond what's making them tick. That's at 4:15. At 4:30, it's our weekly chat with Cody Warsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. And Cody's going to go a little bit deeper, obviously, on the LSU side. And what has been different about Trey Waters since coming into league play and how he thinks the matchups are going to go. Ashton Hagans, Trey Waters, they're both point guards. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to guard one another. What do the post matchups look like? Naz Reid likes to extend you a little bit. Cavell Bigby Williams, he's the eraser on the interior. And I believe Cody's going to share that he thinks there are some similar pieces on the Wildcats side. So is it a game where two teams are looking at each other and it's like looking into a mirror? In some ways, yes. But I'm betting in some ways, Cody's going to tell us no. That's coming your way at half past this hour. And that's it. That's all. As far as our live guest and only a 90-minute program. You don't need to boo this man. You don't need to come throw tomatoes at the 237 Roof Studios. I gave Shea Dixon the week off. Dude's been earning his keep and some. So we'll flip the script, coming back at you next Tuesday. But with only a 90-minute show today, I want to go in a little different direction. So Jeff Drummond, Cody Warsham, they're with us this hour. We're going sink or swim at the bottom of this hour, and it will be Pittsburgh Steelers related. Last year, offseason, it was Le'Veon Bell who wanted out. Now it's Antonio Brown. So I got some questions for you. And I'll ask him at about 4:45, a little shade, regarding the GOAT. And not that term that we overuse, the original. It's time for Michael Jordan. And we'll share that with you today in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, I'm ready to get rolling. My thoughts on LSU-Kentucky, and I want you to weigh in as well. 706-0111. I told you it's a big night for college basketball. Well, let's give you a bit of the tapestry. Four games tonight on the docket featuring ranked teams. Number 12, Purdue at number 24, Maryland. Number 11, Michigan State at number 20, Wisconsin. Number 2, Duke at number 16, Louisville. Everyone's getting real serious inside of conference play. And then obviously LSU and Kentucky. Number 19 at number 5 is your fourth game there. And how about this as an extra? Danny Jones will be happy that I shared this with you. Number 18, K-State on the road at Texas. Longhorns are actually favored as the unranked team there. Point is, it's a pretty Rich Knight in the top 25. But the focal point is LSU Kentucky. It is a prove it game. But the biggest thing I will share with you, my honest truth, is that LSU can't lose in this whole thing tonight. Even if, you know, they do lose. About the only thing they can afford is to get blown out of the building. But it is house money time. LSU is going to be just fine if they drop this tonight. If they're 19-5, 9-2. I'll give you the other side of the coin because I'm not necessarily predicting a loss, but just take this journey with me. LSU at 19-5, 9-2 isn't going to change very much. And currently, Joe Lunardi of the Mothership has the Tigers as a 4 seed. So right now, trending as a team that would be in the top 16. I believe the net rankings has them at 17. Lunardi gives them a little bit of a bump, maybe because of form. And, you know, the whole 9 out of 10 thing. But I thought the projection was interesting. Lunardi says a 4 seed, East bracket, taking on number 13, Murray State, the Racers, in a game in Jacksonville. LSU, John Morant, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. You could sign me up. But the biggest thing that this game is about is the type of experience that LSU requires. That's what tonight is more about than winning or losing. I know you don't want to hear that because you're trapped right now into the next 4 hours and what's going to go down 2 days before Valentine's Day. I've run some of these rat races before. Not sure I've run them with an LSU team quite this good. And yeah, they're chasing perfection as much as they can, and they'll strive for that excellence that maybe falls a bit short. But tonight, for me, is more about how do you perform given the level of talent on the other side, given the atmosphere? Because here's the God's honest truth. You have no control over where you get placed once you get to the big dance. I just shared with you the idea that you may play Murray State in Jacksonville. Hey, that's probably beneficial to you. Probably will be more Tiger fans there than Racer fans. But you're not guaranteed any of that. You could end up on the same side of the bracket as, I mean, really anybody. And think about it. If you're the 4 seed, you're only 2 games removed from taking on the 1 seed. You could get Kansas in St. Louis. You could get Duke in Greenville. You could get anybody where you're almost certainly going to be in a building where purple and gold isn't the majority share of the color. And so that, for me, is what tonight's game is about. Step up in competition. Step up in the level of loud, the level of weird that they're going to experience in Bluegrass tonight. And so for me, there's really not a lot of losing in this experience they're going to get. You just can't get blown out. And yeah, LSU's had that type of experience already. Maybe not quite on this par, but they've already had Florida State and Orlando. They've had Houston on the road. The Tigers will have plenty of opportunities after this game to stack more W's and load up the win column. But here's the thing. And yeah, I wanted to end with this point, because how sweet would it be if LSU can go on the road and get this win? If they do, get ready for this whole thing to take flight to a degree that you haven't experienced yet. 8-point underdogs, LSU tonight. And while we talk about football all the time, home court advantage, excuse me, maybe worth 3 points. I'm going to suggest to you that the Rupp Arena advantage is probably worth about 8 points. I think Vegas sees these two teams as not that different from one another. How do I see it going down? What are the keys going to be in this one for me? Glass work, especially LSU on the offensive boards, Kentucky defensive rebounding. Those are strength points for both teams. Can Big B Williams, can Marlon Taylor, can Darius Days, Emmett Williams, and then Naz Reid get over on Kentucky's guys? Or at least keep it even. Because LSU's guards aren't very good at crashing the glass and getting boards. That's okay. That's okay. They score the basketball a good bit, and they need to get back in transition defense. LSU's front court is going to have to win its share of battles, especially LSU on the offensive glass. Pace tonight for me is critical. Over-under's at about 149, and that falls in line with exactly probably the way that Kentucky wants to play more than LSU. Kentucky's won 10 in a row. We know that. They've only scored more than 80 twice in that 10-point stretch. They like to muck it up a little bit more. Defensively, they're capable of doing that. LSU's not as capable. What pace is this one going to be played at? I'll give you three-point shooting as well. And here's the most important part of the three-point category for me tonight. If it ain't there, back the heck off it. Or more importantly, get the heck within that three-point arc. If it ain't there, don't out and out die by it. Change your strategy. If Tremont Waters isn't hitting early, if you're not getting it from Skylar Mays on the outside, if Javonte Smart comes in, he's been so good with instant offense, if he comes in cold, you're going to have to find ways to get it somewhere else. You're going to have to run action that goes out of the elbow, off the block. You're going to have to find a way to get yours on the interior or at least inside of the three-point stripe. And then finally, most importantly for me, no extended Kentucky runs. If LSU goes on droughts, the likes of what we've seen for most of the last 6 weeks, they're going to lose this ball game and probably by double digits. This isn't the place where you claw out of that type of hole. And so I've laid out a lot for you to open up the show today. I've given you some of my keys. I'm also telling you that Vegas sees these teams as just about equivalent, maybe, in terms of the talent, the depth, the form, everything. But most importantly, big picture, I'm preparing you for the fact that while this is a huge game and you should be excited, this one's about experience that matters more the second and third weekends of March. Take my word for it. All right, don't forget, LSU-Kentucky pregame show, 5:30, tip-off, 6 o'clock from Rupp Arena. We're jacked up for it, and we're taking you all the way there with Bumper to Bumper Sports. On the other side, expecting a visit live from Lexington from Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated. This is B2BS, fired up for some big-time LSU basketball on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Time to head to Lexington. Welcome back in for more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, thrilled to bring on Jeff Drummond, Managing Editor, Photographer for Cats Illustrated, part of the Rivals Network. Jeff, I know you've been making the rounds here in South Louisiana. Thanks for carving out time.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right, so if you could compare this Kentucky team pre-SEC play to the group that's rattled off 9 wins in 10 games since entering league action.
Well, it's a totally different bunch than what we saw from earlier in the season. And kind of that thing that's burned in everybody's memory is the season opener against Duke, where they just got absolutely, you know, taken to the woodshed by the Blue Devils. And ever since that time, really, they've been on a steady improvement curve since that game. But what's really taken hold, I think, since the SEC play started is they've bought in the defense. And Cal Perry has convinced them that playing defense can be fun. It can create transition opportunities. It can allow you to run and, you know, fast break and that type of thing, which wasn't really happening before SEC play. They were kind of a grinded out half-court possession team, and that just didn't look very efficient. But now that they've gotten to league play, they're an up-and-down team, and they really seem to know why that change has occurred.
On the LSU side, we have a lot of conversation in these parts about the difference Cavell Bigby-Williams has made. A guy that transferred from the Pac-12, sat out a year, and now he's their defensive anchor piece in the middle. On the Kentucky side, tell us a little bit more about Reed Travis and the difference he has become starting 20 of 23 games.
Well, it's just been a blessing for them to be able to bring in the Pac 10 player of the year, you know, from last year. An amazing season he had as a junior at Stanford, and he's kind of brought that stability and experience and maturity, both mentally and physically, to a team that has a bunch of young kids like they always do at Kentucky under Cal Perry. Without him, I think this season would be a bit of a mess right now, but he's kind of been the anchor that they could rely on.
Jeff, how would you compare P.J. Washington to some of the other alpha dogs that have come through this Calipari program in recent years?
A little bit different, you know, physically and talent-wise. He has some of that elite high-end talent that, you know, we've seen all the lottery picks to play under Calipari. But I don't think he's ever really fully understood how good he could be. And that's the biggest challenge that, John Calipari's always had with him, is convincing him that, hey, you're one of the top two or three players in the country if you bring your best every game. And the last probably five or six games, we've seen a P.J. Washington at a whole new level, a guy that looks like he could be a, you know, an All-American first-team selection.
Another few moments with Jeff Drummond here on 103.7 The Game. A great follow on Twitter for tonight and moving forward at JDrumUK. All right, from your side of things, the perspective that you would share on Tremont Waters, the player that you saw him as last year as a freshman and who he's been so far in a pretty sensational sophomore season.
Oh, man, he's a lot of fun. He's like a guy that Kentucky recruited him for a while, and he was one of the guys they evaluated, I think, a couple of years ago, and I thought that he'd be a good fit here. And he has really, you know, taken his game to a whole different level. He was dangerous last year, but he's even scarier this season. And everybody here, the buzz the last 24 hours or so has been looking forward to seeing, you know, Ashton Hagans against Tremont Waters and these guys going at it, because not only are they both, you know, gifted, skilled guys on the offensive end, they both really enjoy playing defense and being a pest. And that could be a big factor in tonight's game. I hope we get the kind of officiating crew that's going to give these guys some leeway and let them play, because it would be sad to see like either one of them picking up two quick ones and sitting out, you know, most of the first half or getting in serious foul trouble for the second half. We deserve to see two guys this good go at it for 40 minutes.
Of course, one of the other big storylines on the big blue portion of the ledger, and I know Calipari has spoken to it this week, it's not only the LSU game tonight, but it's Tennessee this weekend. And so how has Coach Cal, this staff, how have they guarded against any form of looking ahead, even considering that the number 19 team in the country is coming in tonight?
Yeah, Cal's been doing everything in his power to try to convince people that this is, you know, that 1981 or 1991 LSU coming to town. And they're not too far off. But the Big Blue Nation in general, the fans here, there's been no buzz on this game at all. If you hear anybody talking at all, it's about Tennessee coming in Saturday, like you said, with that number one ranking and licking their chops to get a hold of the balls. But, you know, if they get caught napping tonight and Rupp Arena isn't as loud and rocking as it can be, you know, it could be ripe for one of those trap game type upsets. But I don't think the players are buying any of that at all. I think they'll be pretty dialed in.
You know, you just alluded to the atmosphere tonight. I guess, what are you expecting? Sounds like you might be a little up in the air as to what type of crowd is going to show at Rupp. But for those that are listening now, they've watched LSU teams play there in the past, ones that may not be this good. I wonder what it's going to be like, and if they are too, what would you tell them?
Well, it's been a weird kind of season. Kentucky's had some unusual down figures in attendance, which has kind of been a trend across, you know, college sports in general. But you never really, growing up and being around here for so long watching this program, you kind of thought UK was immune to it, and they haven't been. That loss to Duke earlier this season hurt, too, the fan psyche. A lot of people just thought, oh, that's it, season's over. You know, what's the point? But I think the way they've been playing lately, the improvement they've seen, the track records of Calipari of teams improving as the team moves along and going into the tournament when it matters most, has gotten people fired up again. And I think we'll have a packed house here tonight and probably ready to, you know, get their yelling on, especially if LSU comes out strong in the opening moments and kind of proves that it's the threat that all of us in the media think it is.
One more for our guest, Jeff Drummond, managing editor, photographer for Cats Illustrated. part of the Rivals Network, and obviously that means that you're pretty well ingrained into the recruiting side as well. As memory serves, Javonte Smart, a freshman at LSU now from Scotlandville Magnet for quite some time, was on the radar for Cal and company. How do you remember that recruitment going down and UK's interest?
Yeah, I do remember a little bit of that. I think it was pretty strong at one point, and then some other guys emerged along the way, as they always do, and Kentucky ended up with a couple of other guys, actually three guys kind of in the similar mold in that class. So I think they probably both parted ways mutually at some point, and that was a great benefit for LSU, obviously.
Yeah, it might have worked out pretty well for both parties, and now they're all going to see each other tonight. It should be a lot of fun. Jeff, I appreciate the time. Again, enjoy the ballgame.
All right, take care.
Jeff Drummond, again, great follow on Twitter, at JDrumUK. Interesting. A couple things I wouldn't have exactly pegged there. Kentucky basketball suffering some of the same issues that, frankly, LSU football has over the last couple of years, and... well, the idea that UK fans, they're ready to hang it up after a loss and a blowout loss at that to Duke early in the season. You think that sport, that team to that community doesn't mean everything and that it's not championship or bust every year? Interesting look at the expectations. When we return, let's go on the LSU side of the curtain. Cody Worsham, when we get back. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. It's time for the LSU side of the ledger before tonight's huge ball game inside Rupp Arena. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And we've been lucky, very lucky. Tuesdays this spring, leading into what should be a very mad March, we've had Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. And right now, he's aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Nights like tonight, about as good as it gets for February, Cody.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Ben. Yeah, it's a big game for LSU. These kinds of games haven't come often for LSU basketball in recent years. It's good that they've got such a big one so early in the season.
I'm interested, big picture, Cody, before we start breaking it down X's and O's, to get your take on how much love LSU is or isn't getting from a national perspective. I know that the tournament selection committee kind of showed their hand Saturday. I also know it was prior to the Auburn game, but LSU wasn't in the top 16. Is that fair or foul for you?
I think it's fair. I think they're right on the cusp of that. I think they still have probably a little bit of work to get in there. These things, you have to look at the entire season. So while LSU had a good non-conference strength of schedule, still, I think that's around top 10 in the country. They did lose to Florida State. They did lose to Oklahoma State. You have to look at the whole resume. So they've got some good conference wins so far, but some of those wins don't quite have the cachet behind them that I think LSU would like. Even at Mississippi State struggled a little bit in conference. So they'll get more chances here with Kentucky tonight and Tennessee coming up next Saturday to continue to add to that. But, that's a very high bar. The top 16 is a very high bar, and I think LSU is right there in that mix. But they still got a little bit of work to get inside of that.
Talking LSU basketball with Cody Worsham, and, of course, getting ready for the Tigers at the Cats. 6 o'clock tip. We'll have the pregame show on 103.7 The Game beginning at 5:30. And I want to start with their head of the snake, right? Ashton Hagans. What impresses you so much about their freshman point guard?
Well, he's so active defensively. He's so long and kind of like Tremont Waters defensively, but with 4 or 5 inches of height on him. Just really active, has good instincts on that end of the floor. And I think one of the most underrated statistics in all of basketball is steals. I think steals just absolutely devastate an opponent, because usually a steal, that's a live ball turnover, and it means you're getting not only a stop on one end, but an easy bucket on the other. And so I think that's the most valuable thing that Tremont Waters does for LSU, and I think it's the most valuable thing that Higgins does for Kentucky. He just gets them stops and then turns it into easy buckets the other way. And if you do that 3-4 times a game, I mean, that's 8 points that you've kind of given your team right there and given up zero to the other team. So I think he's just so good defensively. Offensively, he makes good decisions with the ball. He's not going to, you know, drop 30 points on you, but he gets in the paint. He opens up and exposes your defense and then gets the ball in the hands of guys who can score, like Tyler Hero and T.J. Washington and Reed Travis. So he's kind of the ideal point guard for this Kentucky team that they struggled early in the season without that kind of point guard play with Quade Green starting. But Quade is just a different type of player, more of a scorer, but didn't quite fit the same way. Higgins is just a perfect fit for this Kentucky team, and he's a problem on both ends of the floor.
I'm right there with you when it comes to the momentum swings, right, that a steal can provide. One more as a follow-up on Higgins. I found it intriguing. As active as he is defensively, John Calipari has been fairly adamant leading into this game that he's not sure that Higgins is going to draw the primary assignment of Trey Waters. So I'm not sure anybody's been able to guard that cat recently, but how do you think that Kentucky's going to slice the pie there and trying to corral LSU's point guard?
Yeah, I mean, you could put Hero or Keldon Johnson on him to put a little more length on him. I think you have to be careful with that, though. I think when you start trying to mix and match with Tremont Waters, you start putting guys like Hero and Johnson on him who are primary scorers for you. He's an exhausting cover. I mean, LSU does everything through him. I don't know how many ball screens a game, countless ball screens a game. That's exhausting for a defender to work through. So I don't know that, you know, that may be part of Calipari's thinking. He may think that, you know, he needs Higgins to be able to dissect on offense and they don't want to wear him out. So maybe you can put a guy like Hero on him who is more of a spot-up shooter and ask him to extend a little more energy. But you have to defend him as a group. I mean, the biggest thing that Tremont Waters does is he just beats everybody off the dribble and then gets your defense in scramble mode. So you got to find a way to stay in front of him and maybe you double him when he comes off the ball screens and try to make someone else from LSU beat you. Maybe that's what they do. But Tremont, he's just on a different level right now. I still haven't seen anyone in the SEC that can stay in front of him. And when you've got a guy that's instant penetration, that's instantly going to collapse your defense, man, it makes it hard to defend.
These two teams that combined 39 victories to only 7 losses. Kentucky's won 10 in a row. And they're not just a team that's perimeter-oriented. As we know, they can get it done inside. So how do you evaluate the matchup? Naz Reid and maybe how he takes some of those guys to the perimeter, Cavell Bigby Williams, and then the bigs that Kentucky brings to the table.
I think what I like about this matchup is I think it's so similar the way that a lot of these guys match up. Will Wade kind of pointed this out, so I'm borrowing a little bit from him. But then you look at Reed Travis; he's a Pac-12 transfer who's a senior, a fifth-year senior. LSU's got one of those two in Cavell Bigby Williams. P.J. Washington is kind of an inside-out big who can get you a double-double, who can hit threes. Naz Reid's kind of the same way. Harrow's this, you know, guy who can hurt you from the perimeter. Skyler Mays is kind of the same way. So there's a lot of really interesting matchups. I do think that, oddly enough, LSU probably does have a little bit of a size advantage. Just when you look at, I mean, Bree Travis is just huge. So he may only be 6'8", but he's just so bulky that he can kind of uses his bulk to keep you out of the paint. But I do think LSU's bigs can do some things against Kentucky. To me, it's the most interesting matchup because Kentucky is the best defensive rebounding team in SEC games, and LSU is the best offensive rebounding team in SEC games. And Kentucky's so stingy with its first-shot defense that LSU's going to need some second-chance points like they got against Auburn. I don't think they're going to get, what they get, 29 against Auburn. I don't think they're going to get that again, but every extra possession you can get against a Kentucky defense that's got those guys is huge. So, yeah, I think Naz and P.J. Washington's a fascinating matchup. I think Travis and Cavell Bigby Williams is a fascinating matchup. And then what's kind of the opposite is that Kentucky's going to bring two guys, Nick Richards and Montgomery off the bench, who are 6'10", 6'11". And LSU's going to bring in Darius Days and Emmett Williams, who are 6'6", 6'7". So it's kind of a different matchup coming off the bench there, but it'll be one to watch.
Another few moments with our friend Cody Worsham, LSU Sports, and doing a great job with the Boot Up podcast. Go to lsusports.net or anywhere that podcasts are found. Okay, tell me if I'm oversimplifying things here. But as I look at the numbers, Kentucky, during that 10-game win streak, Cody, they've surpassed the 80-point mark only twice. So would I be oversimplifying things to say that Kentucky wants to play in tighter windows in this game, maybe slow it down, whereas LSU wants to run and gun?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much the case. I mean, Kentucky can do some things in transition on offense, but they really grind you out defensively. LSU likes to play really, really fast. They're number one in the SEC in tempo. Kentucky on defense really likes to slow you down. So that's going to be a stylistic difference where LSU likes to get into those pick-and-roll actions really quick with Tremont Waters. They like to get into that secondary offense really quick after the fast break. And Kentucky wants to sit down and make you work deep into the shot clock. And so if LSU can get some things early, I thought that really got them going against Auburn. They were struggling early against Auburn, and they were able to leak out a couple times out of Mays. Marvin Taylor got a three-point play. That kind of fueled the rest of their offense. And I don't know that Kentucky's going to give you that, but you know, you go to Rupp, it's a rowdy arena. You want to get control of that game early. That's a good way to do it, is to leak out in transition and try to get some easy points that way. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of looking at it. If LSU can kind of set the tempo and run a little bit, I think they'll be better off for it. But if Kentucky can slow it down and grind it out, and you know, you talked about their offense, I think defensively they're holding teams like around 55 points a game during this winning streak. So LSU's way above that offensively. That'll be interesting to see which kind of style plays out.
LSU Kentucky basketball, obviously that's all the rage, but it's not all that Cody's got going on. We know that the Tigers play ball at Alec Box Stadium later this week. And tell the fans a little bit, you've got a feature, I believe, that's coming out on Thursday, LSUsports.net, and a couple of Tigers that are coming back from injury, both of whom have high expectations.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting at his media day a couple weeks ago that Paul Venneri talked about this kind of three-headed recruiting class that he has. One is the traditional recruiting class, with the freshmen, the JUCO guys. The other is the guys who didn't go pro and who came back. But the third recruiting class, which I thought was interesting, was he basically gets two guys back who didn't play at all last year for the most part, and Josh Smith and Eric Walker. And that's your shortstop and your number two pitcher. I mean, that's critical components to any team that's going to try to contend for a title. So I sat down with both of those guys over the last week and talked with them and talked with Paul Menary. And what's interesting is that those two guys were roommates, so they kind of went through the rehab process together last year. But they were also kind of separate because, if you remember, Eric Walker knew he was going to miss last year. He'd already had surgery. He knew it was a redshirt year going in. Josh Smith expected to play last year. He just couldn't get past that back injury. And even when he tried to come back against Ole Miss, he didn't last very long. So they kind of went through a similar thing, but it was also kind of different. So talking to those two guys and how they got through that and how they're feeling now, I thought was pretty interesting.
So between those three forms of recruiting and then making sure that people on your staff don't jump ship and take jobs, it never sleeps. Literally, they recruit all year long.
Yeah, I mean, that's the brutal part of college sports is no matter if it's baseball or basketball or football, it never stops. It with baseball, it's even harder now because of the roster limitations, and you have to have so many pitchers because you never know when you're going to lose an arm, and you got to have arms to manage the postseason. So to get two guys back like that are healthy, Josh Smith to me is really interesting because I don't think we've seen his potential yet. He just played as a freshman. We saw him touch on it there, but I think he's a guy that could be an All-American type of player. And then Eric Walker, you know, if he stays healthy, maybe LSU winning the national championship 2 years ago instead of losing in the final against Florida. So two guys with interesting stories, and you know, this was sort of a different type of recruiting because Venneri didn't have to recruit them back. He just had to get them healed up, but the baseball program should be better for it.
So many things that maybe we take for granted or don't think about, and that's why we're lucky that Cody is with LSU Sports. And we appreciate the time today. Enjoy the ball game tonight.
All right, Ben, thanks.
I, for one, will be looking forward to that piece. Josh Smith, Eric Walker, and another form of recruiting. I love to just add them when I learn about them. There's re-recruiting, there's de-recruitment, which, of course, is what happens after you get the five-star board, and then you just crush them a little bit and break them down and build them back up. And now you have exactly what you just heard from Cody there. Amazing to me. All right, we're going to take our final break in hour number one. We are more than halfway home in today's sawed-off edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Don't go anywhere. Questions and then your answers next on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Ten minutes until 5 o'clock. Right back in. Here we go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Two tremendous guests consecutively. Coming up momentarily, a question for you. Before that, a reminder. Friday, I'll be out at Northside High School, and after B2BS, it'll technically end at 6:30 with LSU baseball debuting the 2019 season for the Tigers. You can switch it over if you want to hear Westgate High School at Northside High School on the hardwood. 7 o'clock, the pregame show, about 7:30, maybe 7:40. Tip-off expected from Northside. It'll be on our sister station, KVOL, The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Oak Grove, Lake Charles. All right, some of your big news of the day outside of LSU, Kentucky. Antonio Brown, he has requested a trade formally for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the organization hasn't granted that trade request, but all signs point toward them having to do something or risk exactly what's been going on for the last year plus with running back Le'Veon Bell. The exact words from Brown as he tweeted to Steeler Nation, time to move on and forward, hashtag new demands. And so that leads me to a question right after the music. Oh, you'll get it. Exciting. First Le'Veon Bell, now Antonio Brown. And so here's your sink or swim question of the day. Who do you blame for the Steelers' demise? I think there are three clear options to lay out. Number one, ownership. Number two, the head coach, Mike Tomlin. Number three, the diva-starved quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. But for the sake of this conversation, we've added a fourth option, and I think one that should be explored. Alan Michael. Coincidence that Alan Michael leaves Acadiana Sports Station? Again, my man's doing big things up in the Iron City, so respect to him. But he leaves, and then all of a sudden, nobody wants to stick around anymore. So I'll let you weigh in here. Whose fault is the Steelers' demise? Ownership, the Rooney family. Head coach, Mike Tomlin. Quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Or Alan Michael. 706-0111. Clint, this will be predictable, but lead us off.
It is absolutely 150% Alan Michael's fault. I'm just kidding. It's serious. But seriously, it's the ownership, Ben. How can you not put it on the ownership? They kind of set this thing up the way it is, and it feels like you got to put a lot of the blame on the ownership for keeping things the way they were for a little too long and maybe, just maybe, placating a little bit too much to Antonio Brown and his diva mentality.
The opposite of placating, in my opinion, but go ahead.
But I'm saying I'm saying previously, before like the last year or so, but also placating to what Ben Roethlisberger wants. We all know kind of the quarterback does drive the bus, if you will, in terms of marketability and being able to be a sustainable franchise in the NFL these days. And I think there's a big reason why we're talking about Antonio Brown being out the door and Le'Veon Bell being out the door. Now it's Antonio Brown, and that's Ben Roethlisberger, and who else, really?
It would appear, from the outside looking in, that some blame should go toward Tomlin and Roethlisberger. And I don't think Roethlisberger is the best, how do I put this? I don't know that I want to say he's not a team-first guy, but he seems to be about some different things than getting in there, putting in the work, being about the work, and just eating, drinking, sleeping, breathing football. Roethlisberger seems to me to be a bit of the football equivalent of what Shaq was for so long on the basketball court. Namely, I'm going to show up out of shape, I'm going to get through this thing on talent alone, and when it's over, I'm going to go hibernate for a while. I'll talk about retiring, I may or I may not, but I'm not coming back until you absolutely make me. I kind of feel like that's who Roethlisberger is. Right, wrong, that's the perception I have. But I'm with you, Clint. I think this has to go on ownership in the Rooney family, and here's why. When you've only had three head coaches ever, when you have so many Super Bowl Lombardi trophies, what, six now for the franchise? It would be easy to fall into a trap of an old school type mentality. It would be easy to believe, you know what, our way works. It's just not the same NFL. You can't keep doing it the same way. You can't, unless you're the Patriots and somehow, some way, you finagle money around. Brady takes a hometown discount. You bring in no-name receivers, and maybe the league gives you a little leg up, and you keep winning. It just doesn't happen that way. Almost everywhere else, you have to pay your stars. If not, they're going to walk. Eventually, in New Orleans, before Jimmy Graham walked over that franchise tag mess, tight end, receiver, what is he, arbitration. Eventually, the Saints just said to hell with it and did what they had to do and brought in Max Unger. Here's my point. They didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell. Now he's not playing for them. He may never play for them again. Some of the same seems to be occurring with Antonio Brown, which, by the way, he's getting paid pretty handsomely. He's still under contract. AB, in the year 2017, got a four-year $68 million extension. So for him, this isn't quite as much about money. But they're not fostering a winning organization, in part because they're not catering to millennials. I think we could just come out and say that. Let's be honest with ourselves. That's what's going on here. The Steelers are old freaking school. And in this case, I think it's biting them in the rear end. What do you say? 706-0111. We're getting a good bit of action here with this one on Facebook, CD. Blaine says all three. Not that Blaine. Not Blaine Viator. Jamie says definitely all three. Peter Dean says, ha-ha, knee-jerk. Are we sure about that? Are we sure this is knee-jerk? Two of their best three players are no longer with the team, and they haven't been traded or released yet. There's definitely a problem in the Iron City. Robert, it usually starts with management, so I would blame them for not firing Tomlin. Not a bad take either. Ryan, the annexation of Puerto Rico, or Clint. So somewhere in there, Clint, he has scratched out Alan Michael, and it's a write-in vote for you, dog.
What did I do? I'm not even close to the Iron City.
Well, you know.
I don't even root for him.
Proximity to Alan Michael. You put the stank on that bad boy. Our friend Kelly Broussard on Twitter, owner, has to take the blame. Everything begins and ends there. They have the power to remove the bad apples and go in the direction that suits. Fair opinions all around. Again, I've introduced this topic later than we typically do in the 4 o'clock hour, partly because our guests needed to be where they were. We're going to make it work for them. On the other side of the hour break, I would love to get back to this a little bit. I know you have opinions. One of the most successful franchises in American sports is falling apart at the seams a little bit. I'm just curious who you think needs to shoulder the blame. All right, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Even. This will have to be quick. Even keel, even tempo. LSU can't go into extended droughts playing at Kentucky tonight. Even. The final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in 30 minutes to go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running for only about 30 more minutes. You're listening to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domingue taking you home and into LSU basketball at Kentucky. It'll follow us next on 103.7 The Game. But first, before I get back into my Cats versus Tigers breakdown, before we take more of your phone calls, if you're just getting into the vehicle, you're just tuning us in, well, we had a sink or swim question of the day. We had it a little bit late in hour number one. We had great guests. Jeff Drummond covers Kentucky at 4:15. Cody Worsham works for LSU at 4:30. And so at quarter to 5 o'clock, we had to ask our question of the day. Who do you blame for the Steelers' demise in light of the fact that Le'Veon Bell still isn't a part of the franchise? And now, today, Antonio Brown has said, I'm out of here. I have new demands. It's time to move on and forward. And so we asked, who's to blame? And we gave you options. Ownership, Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, or, and some think this is just for fun, you're wrong, Allen Michael, who moved up to the Iron City, and now everybody just wants out. Pittsburgh has hurt us. Allen Michael responding on the Twitter machine, no one has more of a direct impact on the results of games than fans. I have to be better. Hashtag, here we go. Outstanding. Allen, we miss you, brother. Thank you for the response. Now, YP, you people out there in listener land, we've got time for your response. Who is the blame for this mess the Pittsburgh Steelers find themselves in? And if you want to join me in a little bit of a Q&A session, why don't you? When it comes to LSU-Kentucky basketball, you want to know the keys to the game. You want to give your predictions on the game. Let's have some fun. We don't have much time left in B2BS today. 706-0111. As I said, to lead the program, yes, it is a prove-it game. No, it is not a make-or-break game. Big difference in those two. Make-or-break, must-win, implies that if you lose, there are very damaging consequences for your season. You know what the consequences are of LSU's season if they lose this game? They're freaking 19-5 overall, 9-2 in the league. They're going to be fine if they lose this game. And so I feel like they're playing with house money. Now, getting blown out is not a result anybody wants. But if LSU could keep it close, they're still going to be just fine. If they find a way to win as 8-point underdogs in that environment against the number 5 team in the country, whoa, you can let your imagination start to wonder maybe even more than it has already. And they can win this game tonight. But they are going to have to do some things better than they have lately. First and foremost, easily the most important part of this game tonight, you can't allow 10-point runs, swings, droughts, whatever you want to call it. You can't allow Kentucky to drag you for 3.5 to 4 minutes at a time. I know, it's basketball, and there are runs that are always made. I get that. But you have to find a way to stay even keel in this one. You fall behind big, you will lose by double digits. That's Kentucky. That's Rupp Arena. LSU's not going to pull the Houdini act in this place. I don't feel there's a chance at it. But if they can shoot well from beyond the arc, if they can win the battle on the glass, in particular, LSU on the offensive side, Kentucky on the defensive side, that's strength on strength. And if they get this one at their pace, sure they can win. Again, I'll tell you what I said in the 4 o'clock hour. Home field advantage in football is typically worth 3 points. I honestly believe that home court advantage at Rupp Arena is worth about 6 to 8 points. I honestly believe that. And I think the people in Vegas know that. So the point, these two are about what and what, at least in the eyes of the people in the desert. All right, let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Ron is with us. Ron wants to talk a little LSU UK. Hit us, Ron.
How you doing, Ben? Yeah, I just want to comment on what you were saying earlier about the game tonight. And I understand what you're saying. It's like this game sets up. It's a no-lose situation for LSU unless they get blown out.
Agreed.
But it kind of sets up for something bigger down the line. You know, like, I don't know, game atmosphere, big game. It's kind of give us a gauge. That's if I'm taking your comments right. To me, it kind of sets us up for – you know, some bigger things further down the line this year. That's the way I kind of see it, you know.
And, you know, Ron, I'm going to tell you exactly why I feel that way. LSU's already had the Houston experience on the road. This will be like that, but multiplied. They've had the experience of Florida State in Orlando on a neutral court. When you get to the big dance, you don't control where you play. And so if you're a 4 seed, you're 2 games away from playing the 1 seed. And so you might get Kentucky in Atlanta. You might get Kansas in St. Louis. You could get Duke in Greensboro, Greenville, wherever. You can't control that. If you're going to play in a building where purple and gold aren't the primary colors, you better have experienced that before. So you're interpreting me exactly right. That's what tonight's about.
All right, I agree with you 100%. So I'm hoping we win, but it to me it's more like a experience right now. So we'll see what happens. Right?
I'd appreciate it, Ron. Yeah, you're right. It's time for a litmus test, and it's time to get ready for a place LSU basketball hasn't been in quite some time. Not just to the big dance, but playing for big stakes as a team that might be a 3, 4, or 5 seed. Right now, Joe Lunardi's got him as a 4 seed. Says they'd play number 13 Murray State in the East bracket, a game played in Jacksonville. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Let's take another one out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Craig D., you want to talk a little Stillers and a little LSU basketball? We got time.
Hey, Ben, I'm going to just say two words, man. Mike Tomlin. Last time we was relevant, probably 2011 or so, when we lost to Green Bay in the Super Bowl, our starting center was out. Our team hadn't been the same. Almost like reminds me of LSU since 2011, you know, go figure. But I blame Mike Tomlin, man. I tried to hold off for years saying we need to run him. They will not run him. And it's a shame, but Tomlin basically won his first Super Bowl with Bill Collins' talent. You know, I'm a diehard Steeler fan. I'm just ready for a change. So on to bigger and better things tonight. I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. I'm not really going to make a prediction, but I think we keep it within 5 or 6. We'll be fine. And I was listening to Jordy earlier, and I think he was talking to Jeff Duncan, who calls it corrupt arena. Pun intended. And but, man, like your last caller was saying, if we get into a tournament-type feel or we play a high seed, I mean, it can only make us better. We're basically, like you said, playing with house money. I'm just going to sit back, enjoy the game. If you go down by 16, you're going to get beat by 35. But if you keep it within 10, you know, I think 5 or 6. I'm not holding out hope that we actually win the game. I'm a realist. I think Calipari is 11-2 against LSU in his tenure, and both losses were at the PMAC. So all the stats are against us. I'm just a realist, and we're just going to enjoy the game, Ben.
John, there you go. Thanks, Craig, bro. You too, man. Yeah, I was at both of those games where LSU beat Kentucky in the PMAC, and one of them was the Ice Dome game where Johnny O'Brien and LSU beat him pretty good. Most of you weren't there, because the roads rise down in Baton Rouge, and you were told by the mayor not to leave the house. I don't scare very easily, so I went out to that game, almost died later that night trying to get back home. But, yeah, I think that Craig touched on an important point there. If you go on a drought in this game, I'm just telling you, if you go on an extended drought in this game like we've been seeing, for example, down 16 in the first half against Auburn, I can't tell you how big the difference is between being down 16 at home to Auburn and being down 16 on the road at Kentucky. You will get thumped if you allow that to happen tonight. And so I'm sure that's in the forefront of Wade's mind. This would not be a game where I would allow my team to play through it, I guess is what I'm saying. Timeouts in abundance. Ain't happening. Not on my watch. So that would be number one for me. Number two, before we take this next call, this idea that tonight is a test run for tournament time, I mean, it's hitting the money on the head. It's exactly what it is. But there's another way in which this is a great litmus test for March Madness. The pace that I think it'll probably be played at. You're going to have to win a game in the tournament where you score 68 to 74 points, somewhere in that range. There are too many good defensive teams. You got Tony Bennett clones out there, like the guy at Virginia, and they just lock your ass down because they're going to score 55 and try to win. It's just going to happen. And so Kentucky, defensively, they've been the best in the SEC. Is that going to happen tonight? I don't know. But I don't think LSU is going to hit their season average, which one of the last times I checked was around 82, 83. I don't know that I see that tonight. So can you win in front of a raucous crowd, and can you play at somebody else's pace and still win? Those are the things that we're going to learn tonight. Even though, what was odd, Jeff Drummond joined us, Cats Illustrated, part of the Rivals Network, in the 4 o'clock hour, and he said there isn't as much buzz as you might expect in Lexington for this game. He said too many people are looking ahead, even though the team's not, to number one Tennessee coming to Rupp Arena on Saturday. And that might just work in OSU's favor. All right, we'll take one more. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, we appreciate the patience. What you got?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Hey, listen, I'm going to agree with one thing you said about if LSU gets down by 10 or 15 points, I don't see them coming back from that, not against Kentucky. But I'm going to totally disagree with you on the fact that this is kind of a gimme game for LSU. No, I think this is just like LSU-Bama football. If they can knock the big boys off the perch, I think recruiting will get better, just like we have to do to Bama in football. That's my opinion.
Well, okay, that's a very fair point. I'm glad you brought it up. This is the biggest national stage game LSU has had to date this season. They've got some shine on them. They've got a ranked number ahead of them right now. So I'm glad you brought it up, and it's fair. If they win, it can help with cachet moving forward in recruiting. My comments have been reflecting what this game means down the stretch of this season. But past this season, it can continue to echo. You're absolutely right.
I got you, Ben. Hey, love your show, man.
You the man, T. He's right. He's right. In terms of recruiting, you beat the best, you can start to get some of the best on campus. Or in LSU's case, some more of the best. Don't forget. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. We're less than an hour away. Pre-game show is only 15 minutes away. LSU Kentucky from Rupp Arena. John Brady, Chris Blair are going to have the call for you, so we better hit our final timeout. When we return, the GOAT has spoken. Michael Jordan at the center of a little shade today. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
It's a little weird, Clint. The Cube is playing and barely even 5:19 p.m., but that's the day we've got. LSU Kentucky basketball, they're going to take precedent over a little B2BS. I think we'll all understand. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in one more time on 103.7 The Game. Let's not waste any time. It's time for a daily reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down, starting with Mark, to help you create visions and then fulfill them. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We got a twofer today. I saw this one from MJ coming a mile away. The one from Steve Spurrier wasn't on my radar. I'll leave that one for Clint here momentarily. But we've actually got some audio from Michael Jordan. And he was asked last night, in the wake of James Harden notching his 30th straight 30-plus point ball game, MJ was asked, what's more impressive, what's more difficult, that feat from the beard or 10 straight triple-doubles from Russell Westbrook? His response, and you're going to have to wait for it because it doesn't avail itself at first, classic MJ.
Now people from outside the spectrum of Charlotte and North Carolina can see the city. Understand, even though it may be a small market, this could be a destination. You never know. I think Kemba Walker starting is an illustration of what the organization.
All right, let's shut that down. That ain't it, brother. I thought we were. All right, I'll tell you what. You got the shorter version. Trot out the shorter version because MJ, I've heard the 33-second version that's absolutely hilarious. And he starts talking about how great both players are, how much they're growing their craft, and how great they are for the NBA. Got our signals crossed there. I wanted the fastball, and you brought a damn change up. But here's what MJ ultimately said. This is classic MJ.
It shows still the progression within the league. I'm very proud about what both guys have done because they're making their mark. for the league, and I think it really helps the growth of the league, which is harder from a player standpoint. Six championships, by all means.
Love that. MJ, which is harder, the triple doubles or the 30-point games? Winning six championships. To which, somewhere, Bill Russell, who I think might be celebrating a birthday today, if I saw that correctly, is just laughing and saying, I got those six and then a few more, big fella. But that's just hilarious. Michael Jordan, vintage from the GOAT. All right, CD, you've got one from Steve Spurrier as well. He's back in the coaching ranks, and he couldn't wait to take a shot at one of his former employees.
Yeah, he could not, and it was just fantastic after getting the first win of the regular season in the AAF, a thing you want to pushing back towards the last segment of yesterday's show, so it makes sense to push it back to the last segment of Tuesday's show. That being said, Steve Spurrier, after the win, mentioned even one with the Redskins, and he kind of laughed and said, that's not easy to do. That just makes me laugh.
Unbelievable. So from Michael Jordan to Steve Spurrier, a couple of ultra-competitive guys, and both of them just want you to know how great they are.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
We got in and out so quickly there, CD. There's even a little time left on the back end for some phone calls. We were taking them with regularity last segment. If you want to get a call in, hurry now. 706-0111. Who's to blame for the Steelers' demise? And it is going to head in that direction. Whether you want to accept it now or not, we've got at least one response on Facebook saying that this is basically knee-jerk or this is premature. I don't think so. Didn't make the playoffs this year. I know. It took the Browns shanking them in the yard in the 17th game of the season for that to happen. Didn't make the playoffs this year. Le'Veon Bell doesn't want to be a part of it. They're not going to pay him. AB doesn't want to be a part of it. Doesn't like the makeup of the team. The demise is here and upon us. Whether you've accepted it or not is a different question. But whose fault is it? You can let us know. You can also go in one final time on LSU Kentucky.
Yeah, whenever you're talking about like a knee-jerk reaction, if we were talking about this after Le'Veon Bell decided not to play for the Steelers this year, then I'd say yes, it is knee-jerk. But with Antonio Brown, I think the evidence is mounting up. This is a demise. I mean, you could about imagine what would happen if hypothetically, let's say, with the Saints and Drew Brees was a couple of years younger, you have Michael Thomas and Mark Ingram both hold out, and you don't have an Alvin Kamara, then you'd probably wind up saying the demise is happening.
Yeah, and the Steelers don't exactly have an Alvin Kamara. They've got a James Conner.
Yeah.
And that's nice. It ain't AK-41. Not even a little bit. So that's a topic that we've explored within our 90-minute space today. But certainly, locally, the big story is LSU-Kentucky basketball. It's a very difficult place for LSU to win. And I think they have chances tonight, but if I had to throw shekels down, yeah, I don't know that they're going to win this one. They can. I don't know that they will. But as I've been telling you, it's a barometer. It's a litmus test. It's about preparing for the NCAA tournament. LSU's already at 19 wins in the season. After tonight, they're still going to have, what, seven more games to play in the SEC alone? That's before getting to the SEC tournament. Even if they won half of their game, if they lose tonight and then win half of their games for the remainder of the season, they're going to be at 23 wins. LSU at 23 wins will be, conservatively, a 6-7 or an 8 seed. LSU staying on the type of pace it's been on and winning, say, every game but Kentucky and Tennessee the rest of the way. I mean, if they finish like something stupid, like 13-3, and then they win a game or two in the SEC, they're going to be a 3 or 4 seed. End of story. And so right now, I think we're all kind of, you know, getting a focus on where LSU is going to land. And it's somewhere between that 3 line and the 8 line. Tonight's going to tell us what they can do once they get into the NCAA tournament. Because they're not going to have a lot of control about where they fall. And that means bracket. That means seed. That means destination. That means opponent. It means all of it. So tonight, heap it on to the pile of experience that you got at Houston when you blew a big-time lead in the second half. Heap it onto the pile of the overtime game that you dropped in Orlando to a pretty darn good Florida State team. And then heap it onto the pile of the two Mississippi wins you've had on the road this year. they're not exactly looking as good as they did at the time, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, but still, solid road wins in a tougher environment. On the road at Arkansas in overtime, solid road win at a tough environment. Tonight's even tougher. The environment won, more importantly, the competition. And if Kentucky's going to slow you down, how will you respond to that? So a big ball game tonight in Rupp Arena. We've had an awful lot of fun discussing it with you, covering it. And I'll thank, again, our guests that have come aboard. Jeff Drummond, managing editor, photographer for Cats Illustrated at 4:15. And then at 4:30, Cody Warsham in his normal time slot. He's the digital media reporter for LSU Sports. And don't forget, not just LSU hoops coverage. He's got a dynamite piece that he foretold. It's coming out Thursday. It's on coming back from injury and being kind of recruited back into a premium role. Think Eric Walker. Think Josh Smith for the LSU baseball team. I know, no Shea Dixon today. We gave him a week off. He's been dynamite. We'll flip the script with our good friend from Go247, beginning again next Tuesday. Tomorrow, Brian Snow will be on the program at 4:30 to break down LSU Kentucky and give us a national perspective. I'll also be out live at Mustard Pot 2 in New Iberia. Come check me out in the Barry if you get a chance. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. You've been listening to Bumper Sports, LSU at Kentucky, next on 103.7 The Game.
Sports Radio update starts now.
NBA tonight, two big matchups, one in the East, one in the West. How about this one? Boston on the road at the Philadelphia 76ers in the West. Gold.